Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome into Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on Cracked Sidewalks. Phil, are you enjoying the holidays?
Yes, we are, other than a case of diaper rash and diarrhea, but, you know, we're all good.
That is way too much information, and I hope you're not talking about yourself.
we'll leave that for the audience's imagination.
All right. Why don't we talk some basketball, Phil, and we'll just start with Marquette closed out 2016 in a positive way with a win over Georgetown. Before we look ahead to the rough games waiting for Marquette in 2017, I think certainly this team deserves some praise for the way they beat a team that we have kind of circled as one of the three or four that Marquette's going to be battling with to finish around that fifth spot in the Big East.
Yeah, it was, and I think you even said something to this effect on Twitter. It was a weird game to say so early in the conference season to say like it felt like a must win, but it was kind of a must win because that was a, I don't know if good's the right word, but it was a Georgetown team that was capable of coming in and beating Marquette. But it was a team that Marquette had to beat if they have any aspirations for a postseason berth.
Yeah, I think both Marquette and Georgetown were kind of in a state of, we need to get off on the right foot or else, you know, 0-1 could turn into, you know, 2-8 very quickly on this team, and then we're totally out of the Big East picture. Because I think both of Marquette and Georgetown were like, all right, if we can just get off to a good start in the Big East, maybe we can hang around into mid to late February. So the loser of that game would be a little nervous, you know, heading into January, whereas the winner say, all right, well, at least we got that first win, and now let's see if we can get another in these first, you know, four or five games of conference play, and then we'll be in good shape. And I thought Marquette, I thought one of their better defensive efforts of the season, maybe the best. We could talk about that. But they shot the ball where they just really got off to a really good start shooting the ball, and Georgetown didn't. Marcus Howard continues to impress. Hard to believe this kid is just 17. He and Juwan Johnson both had really great games, but Howard, if we're talking about just from an offensive standpoint, he was certainly the guy who stood out to me.
Yeah, Marcus Howard really brought his game, and it was kind of what was really nice about it is Hanif Cheatham and Sam Hauser had somewhat off games, and it just kind of shows the adaptability and flexibility of the team we have that Marcus Howard could kind of take up that slack that Sam and Hanif gave up with their performance, and it was just, you know, he looked confident. The only complaint you could have had about his game was that he was in foul trouble throughout the game. But, you know, so was Andrew Rousey. In fact, Rousey fouled out. But the concern going into the conference season was the leaving of Tracy Carter. And from a depth perspective, is certainly when, you know, we had both our remaining point guards with foul trouble, it would have been nice to have Tracy Carter. But I think Marcus and, to a certain extent, Andrew Rousey showed why Tracy Carter felt he needed to leave. Is their game was just so significant that it would have been hard for Tracy to get minutes minus foul trouble.
Yeah, I think I was a little nervous towards the end of that game when it looked like Dwayne Wilson was done for the game and Rousey fouled out.
Yep.
I was like, you know, if Howard fouls out, you know, Georgetown could press Marquette for the last 3 minutes, and it might get a little sketchy towards the end. But fortunately, Howard was able to finish the game, and Georgetown really never got all that close. But yeah, again, I was just really kind of digesting exactly how young Howard is. You realize if he stays 4 years at Marquette, he still wouldn't be able to legally buy alcohol at the end of his senior year.
Yeah.
He wouldn't turn 21 until the end of his senior season. He turns 18 after this season. He's still a young kid, but he just continues. He shows a lot of poise, and I'm just really excited for what we have going with him. But, yeah, I think I hope Dwayne Wilson is not out for an extended period of time.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
I would be a little nervous about our guard depth, which sounds crazy to say considering what the guard depth looked like when the season began, but I would be a little concerned if we lost Dwayne Wilson for an extended period of time, because that's a veteran leader, and he's a great change of pace, whether he's coming in as an extra point guard or just backing up Hanif Cheatham. So Marquette's definitely going to need him going forward, especially if they're going to try to steal a win against some of these top teams in the Big East.
Yeah, well, it just forces, you know, if Dwayne Wilson's out, it just forces, not only is it a senior leader, but it also forces some lineup changes and some players, whether they're comfortable in those roles or not, to play different positions. As an example, what you might see, if, let's say Dwayne Wilson's out for a couple of games, what you may see is Sam or Caton moving to the threesome, you know, just to be able to give a breather to, you know, and have Hanif or Juwan Johnson move to the two to, you know, so it kind of shifts the lineup more than just the absolute numbers on the bench. It changes the character or the way the team plays, and that's not a good thing, because it seems, again, from an offensive perspective, certainly, but maybe even a little bit from a defensive perspective, that the team's kind of figuring out how the pieces work together and how the players play together, and having Dwayne Wilson not available would be a significant shakeup in that regard.
Yeah, now, another thing I mentioned during the game, you know, with Carter gone, I think, you know, the roles are a little more defined. You kind of hinted at it there, too. Rousey seems very comfortable as the kind of change of pace point guard behind Howard, and I think he's really starting to thrive as he gets more playing time, gets a few more minutes, and I think he's really found his shot a little more, maybe struggled with it a little bit when he in the first few games of the season. So I'm kind of liking the way the team is kind of forming, I guess, and kind of getting their identity. And I think they're kind of, not necessarily, I don't know if embracing is the right word, but I think they've accepted that they're probably never going to be a great defensive team. But if they can at least score at a rate where their offensive points per possession are better than their defensive points per possession, and then they can just limit their turnovers, then they should get a fair number of wins in the Big East. And by fair, I mean in that, you know, 9-10 range that they're kind of targeting if we want to be in any kind of postseason discussion. So,
yeah, well, and we should give all due credit to the coaching staff. I mean, we not that it matters from us, but we've given them a little bit of a beating over the last couple of podcasts about, you know, concern around the coaching staff, and they've kind of developed some players and developed a style that fits the needs of the players and the capabilities of the players. You know, they're adjusting. I mean, look at the turnovers last year to this year. I mean, some of that goes on the players improving themselves, but, you know, turnovers are way down. They're valuing the possessions. The offense seems to flow, you know, much more reasonably, and even Caton seems to have, you know, he took a couple of bad threes or bad shots in the Georgetown game, but they were all, you know, 1, 2, 3 seconds left in the shot clock where they kind of stuck the dealer. And so it seems like maybe they're slowly getting the players to play the style and in the roles they want them to play. And that's a positive thing.
Yeah. Are you like kind of saying there that you think maybe Reinhardt has kind of maybe started to accept that he's not the shooter and not the guy on this team?
Yes.
That, like, maybe kind of staying like, all right, look, I'm not going to be a guy who scores 20 a game on this team. I'm just going to do whatever role is assigned to me.
Yeah, I think Reinhardt, I mean, he brought the ball up against some pressure. I think he's one of those guys that I think he's kind of taking the role that, okay, you know what, I'm going to do what they tell me to do. If I get hot, then I'm going to go nuts. But
he's waiting for that day, and I'd love to see it too. But right. You know, he'd love to have a game where, you know, 4 or 5 threes, you know, splash down, you know, in the first, you know, early on in the game, and he just keeps shooting all game. I'd love to see that happen. But yeah, I think maybe a more reserved role for him offensively, as long as he's willing to embrace it, is probably best for the team.
Yeah, and it all depends on the personnel and what matchups we have and whatnot. So, I think the coaching staff is – now, it's Georgetown, so it's hard to say. At the time of taping this, Georgetown lost at home to Xavier as for their second loss in the Big East, and they've, you know, had some well-documented struggles in the non-conference. So it's hard to say, you know, the one game, you know, how Marquette measures up. But, I mean, that was a start to finish. They never trailed in that game. It was a solid performance. That's a win you need to put together as a program, a solid, no-nonsense win.
Yeah, if you look at the win probability for Marquette in that game, it was really never all that low. I mean, I kind of felt
it
that
it felt lower, but
yeah, I never really felt that victory was even in much of a doubt You know, even when Georgetown tied the game, they had hit some wild threes, and that is just like, oh well, if they're going to make those,
yeah,
okay.
You can't guard luck, right?
Yeah, you can't guard luck, and I think there were some. They did hit some lucky shots, but I always felt like Marquette was executing enough offensively against Georgetown's defense, which Juwan Johnson hinted at, not even hinted at, just blatantly said after the game that they executed very well against that. And I just never felt victory was really in doubt for Marquette. I think that was honestly a very, relatively speaking, a pretty comfortable win against a team I wasn't 100% sure Marquette would beat. But what do you think about what Juwan said while we're on that topic, just to get through it? You know, if you missed it, what was the exact phrasing he said? You know,
he said, I have the quote here. He said, "We watched Georgetown on film and we saw that they were lazy on defense and didn't really want to guard."
Yeah. He's
not wrong, but if you're a fan of the show Archer, this is one of those moments where you say phrasing, because he's right. It's just not the way you probably want to say it.
The thing is, if you're going to say that to one fan base, I think Georgetown's the fan base you want to say it to.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I think the overwhelming response from a lot of Georgetown fans was, yep.
Yeah,
like they said, they kind of took it as like a condemnation on JT3, as much that like whereas most other fan bases would be like, how dare he say that?
Yeah, they kind of turned inward on themselves and kind of got into some self-loathing as opposed to getting mad at. I would strongly advise that Juwan Johnson not say things like that in the future. But whatever.
Just right after the game on the court, maybe you don't have time to exactly plan out what you're going to say. And, whatever was on his mind just kind of came out. And I'm sure if they could do it over again, he might say something a little more businesslike. But whatever. I chuckled at it. And
yeah. I kind of wish they had a wide shot because Wojo was standing next to him in the interview. But they had
gone
to the single shot when Juwan said it. I would love to see what Wojo's face was.
Yeah, like if Wojo's eyes got really big or something, like, oh, gosh. By the way, Wojo showed a little personality after the game. Did you catch that?
Yeah, with his post-game press conference.
Asked Marcus Howard about the way he was dressed.
I thought
that was pretty funny.
I thought it was pretty good. It feels a little bit like maybe Wojo's loosening up a little bit, like he's not. It's always felt like he's kind of the corporate character.
It was funny because I saw Paint Touches and Anonymous Eagle tweeting about it after it happened. Because earlier in the week they had talked a little bit about how Wojo is a little robotic in interviews, and fair or unfair, fans kind of judge him that way. Like, man, the guy has no passion. He's just such a robot, and like. They were kind of saying before the game, like, I just like to see a little bit of his personality. And coincidentally, or maybe not coincidentally, he showed a little personality after that game. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, I think Wojo, maybe it comes from 15 years being beside Coach K and never wanting to say the wrong thing and upset Coach K and just always being totally businesslike.
Right.
Maybe that's just kind of where the Coach Wojo personality comes from, but I thought it was kind of a little funny moment that especially because it's Marquette Athletics was able to tweet it out on social media and a lot of people got a kick out of it, but I got a good laugh out of that, him just having some fun, because you know Wojo is just so proud of Marcus Howard that he's got him in the program and that, like, all right, this is my guy going forward for the next few years.
Well, yeah, that Marcus Howard has rewarded his kind of anointing him as, not literally, but, giving him the starting job, giving him starters minutes. That is clearly.
Howard's earned that, yeah.
Yeah, that's clearly paid off, and he's handled the situation great. And also, to be fair to Wojo, Wojo's personality is going to look very corporate compared to whoever came after Buzz, right? Buzz was the least corporate person you could ever imagine in post-game conference and all of that stuff. So Wojo is certainly going to look, simple and boring in comparison. So, but it was good that he did that. And I think it's, because I think Wojo and some fans have bristled at it. Wojo has seems to beat the drum about, hey, we need fan support, fan support, fan support. He's not wrong. I think some fans have gotten a little like, hey, put a really good product on the court and people will come. This is kind of a chicken or egg debate. But, you know, I think showing some personality, like, lets the fans in a little bit more. So I think they're a little more invested, more so than the, you know, kind of the corporate white-collar routine that, you know, just doesn't engender true connection and emotion, I guess.
People just aren't as critical of people they like.
Correct.
And so if you're a likable personality, I think that could take a little heat off yourself. But the question, Phil, is will we have any lighthearted moments after the Seton Hall game on New Year's Day?
Whew, that one's a tough one. I mean, on the road, Seton Hall has played well. KenPom has it as a 46% chance that Marquette wins. So projecting
a 1-point spread on KenPom. So basically, it's a 50-50 game.
It's actually a 2-point. They must have updated. It's a 2-point spread now. But anyway, either way, Seton Hall is the problem. Is Seton Hall the same Seton Hall from last year, right? Because last year Marquette could not unlock them to be, you know, they had a couple of, you know, 20-point drubbings against Seton Hall as Seton Hall's front line beat up against Marquette's front line. Presumably there's different players, right? Sam Hauser's there. Sam Hauser and Caton are there instead of Henry Ellenson. Do those improve Marquette's chances or not? I think the first road test, I don't know that Marquette has it in the bag, though, that, you know, they are coming off a high of beating Georgetown at home. So maybe, but I just don't feel it. How about you?
Yeah, I'm very concerned about the way, you know, Seton Hall defends. And like I said, the front court players, I mean, Delgado is so tough, and, you know, Desi Rodriguez at the forward is, I think, a tough matchup for Marquette to guard. And, yeah, I am a little nervous about this game. That's what, you know, we were going back to why we thought Georgetown was, use this term loosely, a must-win game. It's because, you know, the next three games, it's Seton Hall twice with Villanova sandwiched in between.
Right.
I mean, that's a pretty tough stretch. And, well, I think maybe Marquette could get Seton Hall on the return game in Milwaukee. I'm a little more pessimistic about this first one going to Newark and trying to beat Seton Hall.
The only thing that gives me hope is, or I shouldn't say the only thing, but what gives me hope is Seton Hall's point guard, Madison Jones, is turnover prone, and Marquette's defense is in large part predicated on causing turnovers. So there is some mismatch there where perhaps Marquette can turn over Seton Hall. Maybe they extend the defense, front in the post and extend the defense beyond the arc and try and put a lot of ball pressure on. Maybe even go to like a three-quarter trap or something like that to try and turn Seton Hall over or speed them up of some sort. It's going to come down to tactics, I think, between, you know, in terms of what Wojo's trying to do, I think.
Yeah, when it comes to turnover, Seton Hall is slightly below average nationally on turnover percentage. On the offensive side, they're ranked 200th in the country at turning it over at 19%, and then on the other side, they're getting turnovers at an 18.8% rate, which is 195th in the country. So again, right about halfway when you're looking at the national picture, and then you flip it. How's that compared to Marquette? I mean, Marquette's taken care of the ball pretty well. They're top 50 in the country in turnover percentage as an offense. So as those turnovers continue to go down, which is something we hoped for at the beginning of the season, right, Phil?
Right.
We're hoping that with more true point guards on the roster that Marquette's turnover percentage would go down. And so far that's been the case. So I think that's a reason for optimism. If Marquette can take care of the ball and continue to be an effective offense, which they have been. They're just outside the top 10 in the country in effective field goal percentage. So I think that's a reason to be optimistic that Marquette could beat a team like Seton Hall. Like I said, it's a very close spread on this one, according to KenPom. So I think we're going to get a good effort from Marquette in this one. I'm just fall a little short of predicting a victory in their first Big East road test against a team that I think honestly matches up with Marquette pretty well.
Yeah.
And so if you're asking me to call this game, I think it's going to be a tough loss. I think it's going to be a close game. I think, you know, KenPom's projection seems about right on to me, 81-79. I think that sounds about what
I would expect. It actually sounds high to me.
Yeah, maybe that's a lot of points, but yeah, I think a game maybe in the low 70s with a close edge to Seton Hall is kind of what I'm expecting on New Year's Day.
Well, I it's going to be one of these things where it, and this sounds cliche, but it's really going to come down to whether Marquette's shots are falling, right? So if Marquette is hitting their average for three-point shooting, I think they can keep up with Seton Hall, right? Even, because you're, to a certain extent, you're trading threes for twos, and from an effective percentage standpoint, you're gonna come out ahead in that. But if shots aren't falling, which can happen, right? I mean, Hanif and Sam Hauser had rough outings against Georgetown. So what if Marcus Howard and Andrew Rousey are a little off in the Seton Hall game? That could be trouble. So it's really going to come down to, I think, you just got to minimize the damage in the post and hope that the three-point shooting can kind of bail you out and you can turn over Seton Hall and create extra possessions, because Seton Hall's defense is good. So it is going to be kind of a strength on a strength and a weakness on a weakness, right? Because it's going to be Seton Hall's weak offense against Marquette's weak defense and then strong in the reverse.
Yeah, but, the other way to look at it, it's, two of these next three games, kind of discounting the Villanova game, which I'm not very optimistic about, of course, but, these are kind of some early turning points in the season where if you can find a way to win them both, suddenly you're really optimistic about the rest of the Big East season. Whereas right. if you lose them both, you're probably, you're almost accepting that that Seton Hall is one of the teams above you in addition to the other four that you've already assumed. So then you're kind of looking as, all right, well, we're kind of battling for sixth now if you lose both of the, and then if you get a split, we say, all right, we're kind of where we expect to be. So, on the flip side, it is a great opportunity for Marquette if they can get the win at Seton Hall. Then you've stolen a road victory, a game that you're not supposed to win, and then you could go into that Villanova game saying we're playing with house money in this one and just kind of see what happens against Nova.
Well, yeah, I mean, when we analyzed the schedule earlier in the season, we were saying, hey, the first four games ideally you're 4-0, obviously, but
yeah,
the goal is, best case we thought was 3-1. Most likely is maybe 1-3. Ideal would be 2-2. And so they beat Georgetown. They got that first win. Now really, for the way the schedule shakes out, if you can get one of the Seton Hall wins, it doesn't matter which one, you're on track for a 10-8 or potentially better. But to your point about Seton Hall finishing ahead, I mean, right now, from a standing standpoint, based on capability, you'd say Seton Hall is probably sitting, somewhere in the 6-5-4. I'll do it not in reverse order. The 4-5-6 range, right? In terms of the Big East standings, if you're projecting, well, if Marquette wants to get into the postseason, Marquette's got to be sitting in one of those positions at the end of the season. So beating Seton Hall once certainly helps with that. Beating them twice gives you substantial top cover to try and get into that four or five position in the conference. And the way the conference is shaking out, contrary to certain ESPN analysts not covering it, the Big East is a very good basketball conference. So if you can finish top five in the Big East, you've probably got your dance card punched.
Yeah, and also one thing to consider with Seton Hall, they may be, we talk every game is so pivotal. I'm trying not to talk about every game that's a must win, but Seton Hall's kind of in a spot where they lost their first one, to Creighton, which is a game they were probably expected to lose.
Right.
But, they don't want to be in a situation where they lose to Marquette and, suddenly find themselves at 0-2
right.
in the Big East. And then, then they're kind of behind the eight ball from their perspective. It's like, well, we need to start getting some wins here pretty soon.
That's very true.
Yeah. And, look at it from the Marquette perspective too. After this three-game stretch with two with Seton Hall and Villanova, you get DePaul, which is a game you hope to win, of course. And then you've got three more really tough ones: Butler, Creighton, and Villanova again. So I mean, that's why it's important to get one win against Seton Hall, because otherwise, 1-0 could turn into 2-6.
Yeah,
pretty quickly there, if you don't grab one from Seton Hall.
Right, and the numbers matter, right, in terms of the standings. But almost more critically, if you're at 2-6, I don't care if you played really, really well in that 2-6 and just lost a couple of nail biters to some teams. that's got to have some issues on your confidence and what you can do going forward. And it really puts some pressure on those last 10 games. And
yeah, because then you got to win like 8 out of 10 to be
right
where you want to be. So that's probably asking a lot. But
right.
Hey, you know, speaking of the Big East overall, Phil, did you catch some of the highly touted Villanova-Creighton game on New Year's Eve? I mean, that's just such a great marquee showcase game for the Big East. Obviously, it was the same day as the college football playoff games, but from our perspective, being basketball people, I mean, that's as good as it gets for college basketball, really, is two undefeated top 10 teams going head-to-head. Thought it was a great game, and Villanova, you know, Marquette's next opponent after Seton Hall, certainly looks the part of a defending national champion.
Well, they certainly looked considerably better than they looked against DePaul.
What a turd that would have been if they started the conference season with a loss to DePaul. But
you know, the Fox Sports executives must have been just beside themselves if Villanova had lost to DePaul going into the hype machine that was undefeated versus undefeated in Omaha.
Yeah, so thankfully that didn't happen, although now I'm always, I always am anyway, but nervous about what DePaul's going to bring to Marquette when they face off.
God. I hate that game more than any other game on the schedule.
Yeah, I know. I hate that game too, but I'm just going to chalk that up to Villanova looking ahead to the big national showcase game. Villanova is just a terrifying matchup, really, for anybody, but, you know, of course, for Marquette as well, just because, I mean, they've replaced those talented seniors that left, and you know, and Hart comes back, and Jenkins has come back, and now Brunson is kind of filling that point guard role very well. He had a key steal towards the end when it looked like Creighton was going to rally. Obviously, I'm hoping I'm wrong on this one, but I am not optimistic at all that anything goes well for Marquette in Philadelphia on Saturday.
Yeah, that one's going to be an awful big ask, though. You know, who knows? You know, Marquette went in last year, admitted with local hero Tracy Carter on the roster, and went in and put in, you know, and there are no such things as moral victories, but if put together 30 minutes of great basketball and really gave a scare to Villanova, so they're capable of it, right? You know, and maybe Villanova's coming off. You know, they're going to have a rough, right? They got Creighton, then they've got Creighton away, then they're going to have Butler away before Marquette comes to them at home, and then they're going to have turn around and have Xavier the following Tuesday at home. So that's not an easy – I know Villanova is the number one team in the country, but that's not an easy stretch for them either.
That really is a brutal stretch for them to get Creighton, Butler, and Xavier 3 out of 4 games. That's true.
Right, you know, so they're facing the top – you know, the top four teams potentially in the Big East, and then throwing Marquette in there. So maybe you catch them, maybe you don't. I certainly think if Marquette's going to pull off the upset against Villanova, it's going to come at a, you know, Villanova has an off night and Marquette plays at, you know, firing on all cylinders, you know, with shots falling and plays clean and doesn't get caught up in the, you know, the playing against the number one team in the country and trying too hard and pressing too hard. It'll be interesting. What we need is one of the big keys is going to be Hanif Cheatham kind of coming back to the mean. He's had some off games, especially the Georgetown game. He was really off offensively, even though he got 35 minutes. He only had an offensive rating of 65, which is his season low. So you got to hope that's an aberration as opposed to a trend towards normal. But it's going to be really tough. I would certainly, even with my cautiously optimistic glasses on all the time, I just don't feel comfortable predicting an upset against Villanova. How about you?
No, I don't. Yeah, and I'll go ahead and I'll predict that one as a loss. But you know, looking at this week, I am actually, while I do predict 2 losses for Marquette, I don't think that's necessarily a disaster scenario when you're looking at the big picture going forward, because I'm still hopeful that they could get Seton Hall back in the return game against Milwaukee in Milwaukee, and then you get DePaul again, so then all of a sudden you're back above 500, then you hit that brutal stretch against Butler, Creighton, and Nova. But you know, that's still kind of on track to finish around 500 in the league, which is kind of where I say, but a lot of people, including KenPom, project Marquette to be. So I'm just hopeful that Marquette can get one of these games to get Seton Hall to get to 2-2 once they go into that DePaul game, which gosh, it better be a freaking win if you want to be taken seriously.
So. Well, I mean, that a loss to DePaul at home could sink any and all chances, right? I mean, that could be the death knell right there.
Even if Marquette wins these next three games and goes 4-0, losing to DePaul at home just brings everyone back down to crisis mode.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, you just can't lose to DePaul. You know, I know you got to respect all your opponents and take everything seriously, but if you want to be taken seriously in the Big East and want to be talked about as a postseason team, you just can't lose to DePaul.
Right,
you just can't. But you know, upsets do happen. I mean, Butler lost to St. John's in the in their season opener.
Right.
So I mean, there'll be upsets in Big East play. I just hope Marquette's on the right side of
Of several. That would be ideal.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, get 14 wins in the conference, and then we can all just dance in the streets. But I'm just gonna try.
I'll have what you're having.
Yeah. Just try to keep it realistic, and as you look at this week ahead, Phil, I am going to say Marquette loses a heartbreaker to Seton Hall on New Year's Day and then just gets pummeled in Philadelphia on Saturday, but I would still be optimistic that they'll be fine going forward and they'll still be competitive, hopefully rebounding with the return game against Seton Hall on Wednesday the 11th. So how about you? You said you predicted a loss on Saturday. How do you feel about New Year's Day?
I feel it's actually going to be tight losses in both games. I think Marquette's going to lose by two or three in both games. I think they'll be very competitive. Again, there are no moral victories. I think they'll be very competitive. I think this team's on the upswing. I think so. We'll see what it results in. I quite honestly, Seton Hall is the one team that feels like it's an enigma for Marquette. I don't know how the matchups are going to work.
Yeah, so the overall message I'm taking away from this is, A, I hope I'm wrong. B, even if Marquette loses both of these games, don't lose faith that this team can still improve and be a better team this year than they were last year.
Absolutely. And even if they get blown out against Villanova or something like that, this team has already proven they're better than last year, so the trend is in the right direction. That's good. There's things to work on, obviously, but you know, this, I don't know that the results this week, good or bad, right? If they go and they beat Seton Hall and Villanova, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go 14-2 in the Big East, right?
Oh, it absolutely does. I'll start looking at, you know, hotels for the Final Four.
All trends that show positive results are always true, and all trends that show negative results are never true. That's true. I completely forgot about that axiom.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I don't think one way or the other the results of this week reflect on what it's going to do overall. It gives you an indication, but you know, so I don't think two losses will be critical.
You just want them to play well, right?
Right.
Like, you know,
yeah.
As long as they don't get completely blown out and embarrassed in those two games, then I think our attitude would change the next time we have a podcast. But
right.
You know, if they play well and lose in both of those games, I think we can take some positive things away from it. But again, hopefully we're wrong and they get at least one win this week, and then we could really be excited going forward. So
yep.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. As always, we thank you guys for listening here on Scrambled Eggs. We welcome your feedback. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOF23. Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. You can leave your comments on cracksidewalks.com. Rate us and review us on iTunes, and also you can connect with us on the Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. Phil, have a happy new year, and let's start off the year being wrong. How about that?
I fully support that. Looking forward to tomorrow evening's game.
All right. Everyone, have a happy new year. We'll talk to you again next time. Until then, seashells and balloons.